This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. What's up, MDDC, Virginia? Good morning. We're the Junks, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team today. Good morning. I am Cakes, joining you remotely from Olney MD, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning, buddy.
At EB Junkies on your Twitter and your Instagram, and Jason Bishop.
John and Bick. John.
Got a three-man show today. JP is on vacation. Not sure he's going anywhere. You can't really go anywhere at this point, but he's off for the week. So you got a three-man Junks rotation going today.
Now, I'm so bad. Is today Jason's birthday or is it tomorrow?
It's today.
Today. Happy birthday.
Happy
big
birthday.
Fella.
Clap happy up birthday. For the birthday. The big 5-0. If you're watching on NBC Sports.
Did you actually do what you said you were going to do and have three straight social distancing driveway parties, etc.?
Yeah, because Friday night was my wife's birthday, so our friends Jim and Melanie threw us a little party and they ordered some Uncle Julio's over at their backyard. So we did that Friday night. Yeah, Saturday was the guys I used to coach softball with. They came over. Five couples in my front yard. And then yesterday was small. It was kind of a low-key thing. And then a couple people came over, but that was about it.
That's a lot of drinking.
It's a lot of socializing.
Friday night was the party night. Saturday and Sunday were kind of chill.
Yeah, but still, you're still cracking open a bottle of something. I know you are.
Had some Corona Lights on Saturday.
Did you?
Very good.
Yeah, nice. Love but Corona.
Of course. Believe me, I felt a lot better on Sunday morning than I did on Saturday morning.
And how do you feel today?
Feel good.
Fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're doing a Cinco de Mayo thing tomorrow.
I won't be there, bro. Sorry.
You're not going to be there?
I told you. I'm playing golf at 2, and then I have my buddy Matt Carlin's having a
so it's going to be just Cakes and I. Cakes and I, maybe, I don't know if Drabby and Valdez are going to pop in.
We're going to do the heavy lifting tomorrow, EB.
I guess.
Drinking Coronas, cracking Coronas on Cinco de Mayo.
I'm not sure if JP's going to do it since he's off. He could do it.
He'll do it. He's got nothing else going on.
He could do it. Okay. Well, it'll be Cakes and I for sure, and I don't even know about the boys. Drabby, you can't do it, right? You have a big Owen Dukes thing.
I do, but I'll try to make it for a little bit.
You will.
So what is the framework of the event? I need just a few details.
There's no framework. There's no event. I mean, we're just chilling.
Hanging out, celebrating Cinco de Mayo at home.
I wish we could.
Sounds like a beautiful bet.
I wish we could bet on the ponies, but I don't think we can, right? Because it'd be too late.
No, there's races.
Yeah, there's night races.
Yeah,
there's
races. I think there will be. Yeah.
Valdez, you want to get down? Throw some cash?
Sure, we can set it up.
So there should be Gulfstream, Oaklawn, and Tampa, right?
I don't know if they'll be running that late, but I know like Remington Park has night races, and then all the quarter horses go at night.
I say that's what we, because you got to have something to keep us occupied.
I mean, your silly personality can't do that?
We can't carry it.
I mean, I do it every day, buddy. I mean, what? Do you not want to do it?
No, I can do it. I just.
I know that you and Uncle Kenny were throwing cash on Saturday. At least I was following the
Uncle Kenny started out super hot for the Arkansas Derby. Uh-huh. Yeah. So he was playing Gulfstream and Oaklawn, and he was super hot. Hit his first three bets, and so they were exotics too. He had a three exactas that paid like over $60 on a dollar bet.
Yeah,
on the first three, and Uncle Kenny doesn't bet a dollar. I'll say that.
Yeah, uh-huh. He bets more than a dollar.
And so he was rolling hot, and so he's texting me all his plays, and then I go, man, I got to get in on this. And so as soon as I got in, doesn't hit a race the rest of the night.
Oh.
And then the first time, and then I text Uncle Kenny back after the Arkansas Derby and say, man, I wish I would have got in
earlier.
Too bad, but it was fun. You know, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you next time we start playing. And then he goes, all right. Then he plays one more race. Then he hits that one as soon as I get out. So
you're the jinx.
I was.
So he actually hit the winner of that race.
It was the race after the Arkansas Derby.
Gotcha. Who won the Arkansas Derby?
Is it Nadal?
Nadal won. Okay.
Yeah, it was a heavy favorite.
I got to look to see who I had. I had some 9-1 shot, and I put $20 on a big fat loser.
Did you, Valdez? Did you go like on Zoom with your uncle, or you guys were just on the phone together betting?
No, he was just texting me. I don't think he could figure out Zoom.
Yeah, Uncle Kenny's old school. He's analog.
How old is Uncle Kenny?
probably 65.
Oh, okay, he might be able to. He's not a big like internet guy though.
I mean, the only thing that he knows how to work is his Twin Spires account.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just the betting account. Just the ponies account.
Does he have email?
I think so.
He probably has email, right? Everybody has that. Most people can access
that. That's all he needs.
That.
Then he just clicked the link and he's in on the Zoom.
Right. So how's it feel, big guy, to be 50? Welcome to the club.
Well, it's fine. But like you said, I mean, this weekend was just a little too much. Just too many people.
And a lot of partying.
Too much going on. How about this? So on Saturday, I had planned this for a couple weeks because I haven't seen the guys I coach softball with in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So they came over, and I have this one neighbor who's just—he's kind of Eddie Haskell-ish. You know, he's always—he's kind of nosy and always in your business, and then to your face, he's like your best friend.
I can't believe you say that.
Yeah, well, he is. I'm sorry.
If he were listening, would he know who that?
I mean,
that
it's
going
to get back
him?
To him, but you don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting next to my buddy, who's a DEA agent, right?
Yeah.
So I got a buddy who's a DEA agent, another buddy who's a judge, another buddy who's his wife's a doctor. I mean,
guys with real jobs.
We have all the industries covered.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my buddy, who's a DEA agent, looks over and he notices that this guy is taking pictures of us from on a cell phone. And I'm going, oh man, this is ridiculous. And he's trying to hide the phone, but he can't really because it's just impossible. He's too close. So my buddy sees it and he goes, dude, what's up with your neighbor taking pictures of us? I was like, oh man, I don't know what he was going to do with the pictures, whether he's going to post them to, you know, some site or report me to HOA or the cops or whatever. But that's the type of people in my neighborhood that I just need to get away from.
Also, he was just taking pictures like from his lawn or from his...
From his front porch. Yeah.
Oh, he was trying to narc you guys
out. For not socially distancing.
Yeah, yeah. Which we were.
He was bitter that he wasn't invited. He felt
They've got no friends. There's never anyone at their house.
Well, you could have been distancing, but there could have been parts of the day when like two guys were close to the cooler or something like that.
Well, I mean, look, you're not.
I know you're not going to always be 6 feet apart the entire time.
Right.
I get that.
And then we're outside, Eric. We've got 10 people. All right. So it's not like we had 30. We had 10. It's not like we had Dak Prescott's party.
Mm-hmm.
10 people. We're all in chairs. Everyone brought their own coolers. I mean, it was harmless, right? And this guy's taking pictures of me. So I haven't heard anything since. It's not like the HOA contacted me or the cops or anything, but that's just the type of people I had to deal with this weekend.
Oh, man. So now I see why you're calling him out.
Well, I mean, he's not a listener, believe me, but...
It doesn't matter. They don't have to be listeners. They'll find out. Someone will tell him. You know what
Good.
I mean?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone to do that, it's just BS.
Do you have, like, regular contact with him, or do you, like, say hi to him when you take out the trash?
Hi, bye. Yeah, that's...
Small talk. Small talk at the most.
Very small talk.
Are you going to confront him next time you see him?
Only if someone else, like a third party, comes to me and says, yeah, we heard you were doing this.
Then what are you going to do? Go knock on his door and yell at him?
No, I don't know. I'm just going to say, dude, that's, what are you doing? That's BS. Just come talk to me if you have a problem with it.
Yeah.
You know, don't take photos and post them somewhere. And I don't know if he posted them. I have no idea.
Maybe, yeah.
I just assume that's why he was doing it. So, it was fine. The weekend was fine. It was. Birthday weekends are always too much, especially the one of the big ones. You know, I was trying
especially
to keep it.
Especially you and your wife have them sort of on the same weekend.
The same weekend.
Days.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
But I got to see some people I haven't seen in a while, so it was cool.
Well, good for you. Cakes, you do anything special?
I did the show with Danny on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
From noon till 3.
Right.
And then it's just a standard pandemic weekend. Didn't see anybody. Didn't go anywhere. I mean, where am I going to go? Who am I going to interact with?
Right.
I don't interact with people normally when there's no pandemic. So right. I'm certainly not going to go out of my way to do it during these weird times.
Did you go to your Harris Teeter and load up to your weekend grocery shopping?
Went to Harris Teeter yesterday.
You did? You masked up, obviously.
Of course.
Was there a ton of people in there? Are they limiting the number of people that are going into the Harris Teeter?
I think they try. I mean, they've got their standard, you know, tape 6 feet apart outside, but I've never seen anybody lined up outside.
So people just walk in, and is it a circus when you're waiting
in
line?
Not a circus. It's more of a circus when you choose the absolute worst time to go. Like, I went yesterday at, like, 12:05. Like, could you go grocery shopping at a worse time?
Like, so it was a bit of a circus.
It wasn't terrible, but, I mean, it was a little more crowded than I would have liked it. But it's fine. What are you going to do?
Don't you think, even when this passes, that this is the remnants of this is still going to be ingrained in our bodies and in our minds? Like, oh, too many people here. Oh, don't breathe on me.
Of course.
Back off.
That's going to
stick. Even when all this passes.
It's going to stick with us until we're dead.
Yeah.
I would think.
It's going to have really, really harmful effects.
It's going to have the repercussions.
Really harmful effects on our culture.
And I always forget my mask, and then I have to run back into the house to grab it. I
mean, yeah.
And I have it in the same spot in the kitchen, so I know where it is, but I just always forget it when I walk out to the car.
What I think it's gotten to the point now where you should just, in my opinion, you should just have masks in, like, all your cars. And so whatever car you're in, you got one there. So you can. I had a buddy who ordered a sub from Subway. And forgot his mask, and they wouldn't, you know, he went in there, and they started screaming at him.
Right.
He was just picking up a sub he ordered off his phone.
Who was screaming at him, the employees?
Yes. And so he had to go back to his car, get his mask, put it. He just forgot. It wasn't like he was trying to be a jerk. He just forgot, not used to it.
Sometimes you forget, man.
But if he didn't have it in his car, he would have had to drive home. So it's good to have it, I think, in your car. Just have one in every car.
You have some spare bullets.
You have some spare bullets.
Kind of like when I go to MGM National Harbor, I don't go with just one bullet. I always have a spare bullet.
Right.
Always.
I saw there's a local company, actually, I think it made the news, here in Kensington, that's making like silly Maryland flag masks. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the story. And
I heard the
story. Stars and Stripes masks.
Yeah.
They're actually silly. I think they're about $12 a mask, though. But, you know, they're trying to stay afloat. They're former, like, you know, T-shirt company or something. But I think I might get a couple of those if we're going to be doing that bit for a while now.
Yeah. Might as well load up on them.
Right.
Stock up.
Yeah, hook yourself.
Did Cakes, you're not a Jordan guy, so I'm assuming you didn't watch Last Dance.
I actually did. I re-engaged for episode 5 last night in about 15 minutes of episode 6. And I said, this is finished. I'm going to bed. But I did watch the full Dream Team episode.
I actually didn't watch it yet because my son was playing video games, and I figured I'd watch it with him today.
It's great. It's amazing television. Even if you're not a Jordan guy, I mean, just the behind the scenes of just the scene of him gambling with the guys at work at United Center. Did you see that last? Like, he's gambling with the dudes, like, who can pitch like a quarter to a certain spot, like on the carpet outside of the dressing room.
Right.
Well, then why are you out so quick if you liked it?
I'm back.
I know, but you said it like you had no interest in episode 6.
No.
I just got late.
I'm just tired. I will finish that today. Jason, I've got a lot of TV watching to do.
So you are back in. All right.
I'm back in.
No, I didn't see it. I'll watch it today.
I mean, Valdez can chime in with me. I'm almost at the end of Outer Banks.
Outer Banks, Sicily, John B. John B. almost greater than Michael Jordan.
I'm on episode 10, so I've got about 40 minutes left in that. I've got The Last Dance Episode 6. I think my TV plate is pretty full right now. It's pretty full.
I'm kind of with Cakes, though. That the hype for the Jordan documentary has superseded the actual quality of it. It's good and everything, but it's just an excuse for all the sports donks to create a meme or, you know, try and screen capture something from it. That's all it's become.
There seems to be a lot of like reaction to it the next day on all the sites.
People are just desperate to react to sporting events, and I think that's what's really, you know, the why everyone's so infatuated with it.
It's helping to fill the void.
Exactly. And
it's also about Jordan.
I know, but it seems like people are more excited to show their reaction or show their witty meme about the documentary than talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about all the social media donks. Yeah. I know you don't really see him. And Eric probably knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, to
an
extent.
And Cakes, too.
But last night I wasn't really paying attention, although at certain times everybody was freaking out, I guess, because did Jordan finally acknowledge that he did say Republicans buy sneakers, too?
Yeah.
So I guess he had denied that for a long time.
And he mentioned it, but he basically said it was like an offhanded joke.
Of course.
For him. He's like, I was hanging out with Pip and Horace Grant. How seriously are you taking me when I'm dropping this quote?
Right. And did they touch on when he punched Steve Kerr last night?
Maybe that was in episode 6.
Maybe in
after
episode
I went
six.
To bed.
I didn't see that, but it may have happened.
Yeah. What do you think, Drabby?
I think it's interesting, but it's hard for me to sit through all the commercials.
It's a lot.
It is a lot, and a lot of it. You kind of already know about, but some of the
exactly.
stuff, like I couldn't believe that Jordan was passing out tickets to games to his teammates.
Yeah.
I thought that was the weirdest thing.
That was kind
of
weird.
He was in control of the tickets.
Right.
Oh, really?
And then like Randy Brown was begging for one, and Jordan goes, do you care where they sit? And he goes, no, they can be in the locker room next to God. And Jordan goes, well, you just got one from them.
Well, it also tells me that they sold way too many of the tickets. Like the demand was obviously sky high. They didn't set enough tickets aside for
the players and their families.
And their families
why is MJ doing that?
Dude, I don't know.
They never broached it. They never said tickets.
They said it's not like it is now.
Yeah.
And that was during the episode where they were just talking about how crazy like the Bulls fandom was and playing in the Georgia Dome in front of 60,000 people towards the end.
I had forgotten that. That was actually that was wild to see 60,000 plus packed in.
Hey, we had Buckhands on the show on Saturday morning, and he told some unbelievable stories about MJ. And one was when MJ came back and was playing for the Wizards, they flew into Portland, and Portland has a couple really nice hotels downtown, but they don't have like a Four Seasons or a Ritz.
Yeah.
So I guess Abe Pollin had booked them to stay at the Sheraton Airport, right? So they fly into Portland, and the bus pulls up to the Sheraton Airport, which is, it's fine. It's not nothing fancy.
Sounds like a place junks might stay.
Right. And then so Buckhantz and Chenier and a bunch of the TV people, maybe some of the reporters get off because they're all staying at the Sheraton. And MJ's and the bus just pulls off. They just go, done. And they go to one of the nice hotels in Portland. And got back to Abe Pollin. He was bitter because he wanted the team to stay at the Sheraton, and he didn't want it all split up. And MJ said, I'm not staying at the Sheraton Airport Hotel. I'm going down to one of the nice ones. And apparently MJ paid for it all on his credit card. So all the players and team staff that went to the nice hotel in Portland, he paid for all of it.
Yeah.
And he told Buck, I don't know, the next day, don't worry, Abe's going to pay me back. But he never got that money back.
He never did?
Got it back. No.
Jesus. All right, we got a lot coming up on the show today. We have Chris Russell joining us at 7:20. We'll talk Skins and Project 11 with him. Tim Bonteps is coming on the show at 9 a.m. We'll talk some NBA with Tim. But when we come back, we'll dive more into The Last Dance and into Project 11, which covers Alex Smith's harrowing injury and comeback. That was on ESPN over the weekend as well. It's the Junks coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, you can always text The Fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. Jason Bishop is the CEO of the text machine, so he will read all
those
texts.
They're up early. Everyone's up early.
That come through. Coming up in just about an hour, Chris Russell, the Rooster, is going to join us. He will talk skins with us, and I'm sure we will dive into the Alex Smith Project 11 that aired on Friday night on ESPN.
Yeah, all of the days, we say it every day, are running together, so I couldn't remember if we talked about it on Friday or not. But I think, I mean, all of us probably have a lot of the same thoughts. But the one image I can't get out of my mind is, after 17 surgeries, the carved-up image of his leg and what was left of it. I actually took a picture of it, and I was going to tweet it, and I thought, you know what? Twitter will probably suspend my account for putting it out there. It's too gory.
Plenty of people posted the pics of his infected leg before, you know, obviously they
yeah, but
got
I didn't
rid
see
of all
many
the tissue.
Of the carved-up leg.
Yeah.
Do you remember that image?
Sure. I mean, you'll never.
It looked like he.
Don't
like
forget. A third
it,
of a leg.
It looked
left.
Like he was bitten by a great white shark.
It looked like a piece of chicken.
It was awful.
Unbelievable. It was just horrifying. And that's why I remember I hearken back to when that whole thing was going down. And we put out there, I put it out on my Twitter that there was that we don't think he's going to play again, from what we had heard, that this was like a life-threatening, leg-threatening infection that they were dealing with. And that one quote that was relayed to me, and I didn't hear it specifically, but it was relayed to me, was a doctor saying the mere thought of him playing again is preposterous.
Yeah.
Right? And it's because of exactly that, what they had to do to save that leg. And, you know, I was talking about it with Dukes, I guess, yesterday. I don't remember when we did the show. I think it was yesterday. And the idea that you could get a flesh-eating bacteria at FedEx Field a day after you broke your leg, it's unbelievable to me.
It's the
I thought
worst
that was like
luck.
Something you get like in the Amazon.
It's the worst
something.
Luck ever is what it is.
How do you get a flesh-eating bacteria hours after surgery?
They were theorizing it could have been from his uniform. It could have been from a dirty sock. I mean, it could have come from anywhere.
Yeah, who thought that your dirty sock could have a flesh-eating bacteria?
I heard that some doctors thought it was from the water on the ground at FedEx.
Yeah. That could be.
Well, I mean, I guess that bacteria is probably around, but as long as you don't have a compound fracture with your bone sticking out, maybe it doesn't affect you. It finds that weakness in your body, and then it just attacks.
It must be
crazy.
Way more common than I'm aware of, because I just didn't think it would be that easy. I understand why it got into his body. The fact that it's around is what's blowing my mind.
Right,
how
right.
could a flesh-eating bacteria be around at FedEx Field?
There's dangers all around us, EB. There's danger everywhere you turn.
Every once in a blue moon, you'll see some girl that jumps at a pond, and she gets a flesh-eating bacteria or something. And you go, well, she was in a dirty pond. I guess that makes sense. But to me, that was just mind-blowing.
Well, a couple things struck me watching that. First of all, I wanted more than an hour, because they really kind of just condensed that the last 5 or 6 months – of his rehab into like 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, I wanted 3 or 4 hours of that. And props to the Smiths for allowing the cameras to come in here and follow him for a year and a half. The other thing that's kind of struck me was how strong his wife Elizabeth is.
Yeah.
And even if Alex did want to come back and play, man, I can't imagine she would allow it the way she was talking and broke down when the doctor said, yeah, he might not survive this. You know, she just wanted him to be around for the kids and the family. So it was really well done. It was too short for me. And we all knew it was bad, Eric. because we had talked to people in the industry and we kind of knew that, but I didn't know it was that bad because I never saw pictures of it.
Yeah, I didn't see it that carved up, just sort of chicken. That was just horrifying.
Like how they can take other parts of his body and then just graft it onto his leg and give him what appears to now be a functional leg. Now, I would find it highly improbable he ever makes it back and starts a game in the NFL.
Well, I just don't know how just any doctor would ever sign off on it.
For him to be running around with his kids and training on it from what it looked like is...
Well,
it's miraculous.
It's a medical miracle is what it is. It's a medical miracle that he still has the leg.
It explains why when we saw the images of it around Halloween, it was all clumpy and, because they just took a muscle from, the quads or whatever, and they just slapped it. It looked like they just slapped it on there. You know what I mean? Just like extra pieces of meat. And,
It was just horrifying.
I mean, it really horrifying. Was. And I wonder how the guy looks down at it every day and doesn't just get depressed. This is an elite athlete.
Well, I mean, think about how close he was to signing off on the amputation.
Yeah.
When he went down to that military hospital in San Antonio. I mean, they were telling him, you probably should just do it because the problems you're going to face down the road just aren't worth it.
But it's hard
to tell someone, cut your leg off. I mean,
he may end up doing that. I mean, who knows? Hopefully not. Did we talk about Casey Martin and how Casey Martin may be at that point right now?
I hadn't followed up on that.
Yeah, there was a story about Casey Martin about a month or two ago that he thinks he's hit that point now where he needs to...
Probably amputate.
And what happened was he just... I think he took like a bad step somewhere and it fractured. Oh. And because of the way of the fracture and because of his disease or whatever, the syndrome he has, the blood flow's not getting in there and it's not healing. And so they're going to try one other sort of last-ditch thing.
Maybe he goes to Metro Men's Health, EB.
Yeah, he needs to get that blood flow.
I know it's for a different body part. Yeah. But, you never know.
If it works for Johnson.
You have to exhaust all of your resources and all of your options.
Hey, it's your third leg.
Exactly.
Valdez, very good point.
It's a good point. Your
good
tripod.
Thing. Sorry. I know it's a real, real-life topic we're talking about, but I couldn't resist.
But they never really showed Alex's leg when he was working out. They never really showed.
Well, you've seen, if you look at the images, like with the halo brace thingy on it.
Yeah.
And then you just see how clumpy and
it's very swollen. Yeah.
But they just slant. It looked like they just threw slabs of muscle on there, and it'll work its way out. But it's never going to look normal. It's always going to look disfigured.
Right.
And it's a horrifying looking thing. But at that point, you just want function. Mm-hmm. But.
Other major takeaway from Project 11 was, if you're not rooting for Alex Smith at this point, after seeing what he went through, then you're a demon. You have no feelings whatsoever. You're just a horrible person. And that goes to whatever, if you're a Cowboys fan or you're an Eagles fan and you hated Alex Smith because he played for the Redskins, you shouldn't worry about that. You should worry about the dude being able to keep his leg and leading a normal life. And take sports out of it, that the guy's just a human being trying to keep one of his legs intact.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care how good he was as a quarterback.
Yeah, who cares about that? I mean, that's so trivial.
And he certainly had an unbelievable, admirable career. But, when it's all said and done. But that's just meaningless at this point.
100%.
I felt a tremendous amount of sympathy for the guy.
Obviously, we're rooting for him just to lead a semi-normal life with his family. Sure. But I'm not foolish enough to think that he's coming back to play in the NFL.
Well, here's what I just want. I just want him to find peace, whatever it is. And if he can find a way to defeat all the odds and be the million-to-one shot, go out, get cleared, that'd be amazing. But
I hate
to see him. I don't know how he could do it, but, let him try, I guess.
I can't imagine his wife's going to allow that.
I don't see a doctor signing off on it.
Well, certainly not the doctors, but there's no way his wife would say, all right, we can. Can you imagine him? Can he take one hit on that leg? No way.
I could. It's hard to imagine. Although the bone, right? They I'm sure they fortified the bone. The bone might be strong enough, but just the muscle around it. I don't know. Because guys come back from broken legs before.
Yeah, that's a lot different.
seems like a lot different to me.
And if you're the team, I mean, he's going to have to sign 1,000 waivers to be able to get back out on the field again.
Yeah.
Because the liability the team would face if something like that were to happen again would be gigantic.
The thing that just really, I mean, that's, I think, was the point that struck me, too, was how quickly it all snowballed. I mean, he went from, okay, this is a Theismann-like injury. This is gruesome. It's horrifying. You feel for the pain he must be in. But, okay, he's in the hospital. They've done their surgery. You see the images afterward. It looks stitched up nicely. And then, like, 24 hours later, oh, my God, he's fighting for his life. That's right. Unbelievable. And, you know, you always hear, you know, I've been to the doctor a bunch of times. I have some knee things. I had a shoulder surgery. And the doctor always throws in there, you know, we could do this surgery, but, you know, you always got to weigh infection. And I never really think much of it. I go, you know, whatever. What are you talking about? I want to get my knee fixed. Mm-hmm. And then they always throw in there, you know, but the one thing you have to think about is it worth it because of the potential for infection?
Right.
Now that means something to me. It means something to me. It never really did before. I'm like, what are you talking about? Surgeries are routine. Let's go in there and clean it out and do whatever we got to do.
Man, it was gripping. It really was.
Yeah.
We should take calls on it maybe later in the show, people who watched it, and get their reaction.
Well, I think most people probably had the same reaction, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, if you even thought that there was a chance he could play again, just based on, you know, the things you were hearing, and then you watch that, you see what state his leg is in physically, come on, man, there's just no way.
Jason, there's no time like the present to take calls on Alex Smith Project 11. So when we come back, 800-636-1067, what were your main takeaways from Project 11 that aired on ESPN on Friday? You can also text us at 800-636-1067. So we'll take your calls next on Alex Smith here on The Fan. Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget Chris Russell, Skins insider for 106.7 The Fan. He's going to join us coming up at 7:20, but we're taking your calls right now at 800-636-1067. What were your takeaways from Alex Smith Project 11 that aired on ESPN on Friday? We all watched it. We saw what Alex went through as far as trying to save his leg. All of the procedures that he went through, his wife by his side, his family by his side throughout the entire ordeal. 800-636-1067 is the number if you'd like to weigh in if you watched it like we did over the weekend.
All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Let's go to, let me see, let's go to line one. Is it DC? Just says DC. Is that his name?
Mike in DC.
Mike in DC. There you go. Mike, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Hey. What's up, Mike?
What'd you think, man?
How you doing, Jonks?
Doing all right.
Hey, the risk ain't worth the reward, man.
Right.
I know he could get back every penny he earned for that leg he had prior to that incident. He would give it back.
Yeah,
probably right.
The thing is,
and he's still not out the woods yet. He's still got to go through treatments. He's still got to go through the rest of his life hoping that this thing works.
I know.
Yeah. You know, I just feel for him, and I don't want to say definitively there's a zero chance. I mean, it looks to me like there's a zero chance, but I want the guy to be able to go out on his own terms if that's what he wants. I don't want to be the guy rooting against him. I think we're all rooting for him. It just seems implausible.
But, Mike, correct. I think most players, they obviously realize how dangerous the sport is. And
yeah,
for most of them say, like, that they're willing to take that risk. Now, they don't obviously want it to be as bad as, you know, what Alex Smith went through, but I think all those guys kind of know in the back of their minds that, you know, you can get maimed, you could die from playing the sport, you can suffer, you know, catastrophic injuries that, you know, put you in an early grave, you can suffer brain damage. They know what's entailed when you play NFL football.
I think they do, but Cakes, I honestly think, okay, maybe it's just naivety on my point, but I always think, okay, you could get paralyzed, which is pretty brutal. That's about as close to death as you could come. But I really don't think that a guy thinks he's going to get his leg broken and be
and
fighting for his
life
the next day.
Right.
I
no.
just don't think probably that not that's to in that anyone's extent. Head.
Because the odds of that are so small.
Sure. I mean, they feel like, okay, I'm going to have a broken leg or I blow out my ACL, I lose a season, I'm going to come back from it. They don't think what happened to Alex is going to happen, but, I mean, the possibility is there. It's rare.
It's
certainly
now.
Rare.
It wasn't there before for me. I could tell you that. It never occurred to me anyway. Let's
and
go
how
to-
about? And I know we talked about this, but how about it was the same day that Joe Theismann broke his leg, November 18th.
Was it to the day?
Yes, yeah. 33 years later to the day.
Yeah, and Joe's never able to come back from it, and he didn't have those infection issues. It was just a matter of, I think, getting the strength and you know, getting the leg to respond.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's even 10 times more impossible to believe that Alex will pull this off. But I don't want to be that guy out there just saying, oh, it ain't happening. I want to root for him. I don't want to be a guy just pooping on him. But it seems implausible. Let's go to Dave in Haymarket. Dave, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Junks. Love
hey,
the show.
Thanks,
what's up,
man?
I watched the Project 11 with my wife and kids, and believe it or not, got a little emotional when I saw his leg and when I saw Dr. Meehan, the plastic surgeon, talking about how he saved his foot.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, saved his leg. My wife went through a similar situation, and Dr. Meehan actually saved her foot. She had bunion surgery, and it got infected. So, E.B., the way you were talking about just a routine surgery, risk infection, she had bunion surgery. It got infected, and it started eating her foot away.
Wow.
How quickly? How quickly did that happen?
It happened pretty quickly, about a week. So we went to the doctor to have the bandage changed for the bunion surgery, and you could tell right away that it was infected. You could smell it when they took the bandages off.
Yeah. Mm.
And he said, hey, you need to get to the emergency room ASAP. So we went from the podiatrist's office straight to the emergency room. They did a surgery right away and tried to clean out the infection. She went through, in total, 9 surgeries to save her foot. And Dr. Meehan, thank the Lord for him. Mm. He, at the time, this happened 9 years ago, he was one of the only doctors in the area that was doing this surgery. It was called a flap surgery. And they went in, they took a muscle out of my wife's inner thigh, and they put it on top of her foot. And what they do is they just staple it on, and they had to reroute an artery from her leg into the muscle to keep it alive while it was laying on top of her foot.
Yeah.
And then the worst part was every morning I had to change the bandages. So as I would take the bandage off, it would lift the muscle up off of her foot.
Right.
Because it was only stapled in certain areas. And then they go back and they shave it down because the muscle is too big for the top of the foot.
So is that what they're going to do with Alex? They're going to shave that muscle down?
Yes. Most likely they will contour it to make it look more natural if they need to.
Yeah, because it just looks like a clumpy mess.
How does your wife's
foot? That makes sense.
How does her foot look now?
It does not look normal. My my kids call it her dog paw.
Oh, poor
but,
thing.
Yeah.
Can she run on it?
Snake skin? No, no. She won't run on it. She's still in pain to this day. It was 9 years ago. She'll never be the same. But
for a friggin' bunion.
Down.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yep. But, that sucks.
But she looks down every day and says, thank God I still have my foot. So, it's a miracle what they can do.
Is Dr. Meehan, is he out of Inova, Fairfax? Is that where he works out of, or is it somewhere else? Loudoun, maybe?
He's out of Inova, Fairfax.
Yeah. Okay.
He has his own office up in Fairfax, and then he works out of a couple of
I've heard
hospitals.
Good things about Robin West, who was also featured.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah, good luck, man.
So that was the woman that was with him the whole time, right?
That was Robin West, the doctor, she was on the cart. leaving the field. I've heard good things about her, real good things about her. I've heard good things about the Meehan guy. I've heard the other doctor, he had a long last name, heard great things about him. I mean, he had some top-notch A++ docs working on him.
But that makes sense, though. They just slap those slabs of muscle on there, and then they try to get whatever, they get, I guess, to keep the blood flow and keep, you know, get it to take hold, and then eventually they'll shave it down and try to, you know, make it look a little bit more normal. He won't need all that excess stuff. That makes sense. But, man, that psychologically, that's just got to be brutal to look down at that thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. He's such a good-looking guy, too. I remember seeing him working out. Remember there was a workout video of him? Wasn't he working out with another – do you remember, Valdez? Wasn't he working out with another quarterback or something before he suited up with the Skins? He was, like, in his home gym. And
was he working out with another Dreamboat?
It was just like, this guy, what a life. You know, how old is Alex? Is he about 32 30s. Or something? Maybe 33 now? I don't know.
I think Alex Smith is 30. I want to say he's 35 or 36.
Is he that old now? So let's just say before the season started, he was 34. I mean, just in the prime of his life, elite physical, elite athlete, number one pick of the draft, beautiful wife, beautiful kids and everything, and then just to have that leg mangled. Oh.
Actually, he is he's 35, but he'll be 36 on Thursday.
Okay.
He was born on May 7th.
Let's go to Ike, North Carolina. Ike, what's up, man? You're on the Junkies.
Hey,
how are you,
buddy? Good morning, Junkies. I want to say great show, of course.
Thank you, Ike.
Saw the documentary. It was incredible. It was truly impressive. And I'm going to just say this, man, as far as Alex Smith, he has nothing more to prove, fellas. I mean, he's amazing, and he's done it all. I would go ahead and sit back and collect those 4 more years of risk and checks and just retire, man. I got to add, fellas, it really speaks, fellas, and I'm gonna see if you guys agree with me or not, but it really speaks to, I'm telling you guys, it's the curse of the Washington Redskins. There's something that's going on because that injury was so gruesome and he almost died. We had a star Hall of Famer to be player who did die. Then you're talking about the comparisons at Lurch alluded to earlier about how Joe Theismann, the comparison is eerie. It's eerily insane how close they are, like the same yard line.
But I can't take you seriously if you're seriously talking about a curse.
Yeah, and a hex.
It's been a lot of bad luck. A lot of bad luck.
A lot of things, fellas. You talk about RG3. I mean, he was the savior on the white horse in 1 year, and he's done. You're talking about, again, Sean Taylor's gone. I mean, it's just a host of bevy of things that have happened in the last 20 to 25 years with the Washington Redskins.
Right. Thank you, buddy.
A lot of people believe it. A lot of people think that way.
There's no such thing as a curse.
I know.
It doesn't exist.
A lot of people do believe that.
I mean, bad stuff happens.
They believe more that it's just Dan Snyder's fault. Everything is Snyder's fault. Yeah. And he's got a lot to do with it, but he's obviously got nothing to do with Alex Smith getting carted off the field.
All right, let's go to Jimmy in Orange. Jimmy, what's up, man?
Jimmy's not there.
Oh, he's not? Okay. So, anyway, that was the Project 11 deal with ESPN. It's amazing how we all watch these things with nothing else on. Again, I didn't watch The Last Dance. I'll watch it this afternoon, catch up on it. I think Jason will do the same. I don't know what the next thing is to look forward to. Yeah. I guess there's going to be UFC this weekend. Is that right?
The live event.
In Jacksonville.
What time? Is that going to be another like midnight deal before the main event?
I do not know.
Yeah. Who are the big guys?
Tony Ferguson. He was supposed to fight Khabib. So he's fighting some other guy now. It's actually a pretty packed card. There's four or five. Greg Hardy's on it. Former Cowboy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I'm going to assume this is a fanless event.
Oh, yeah.
They should be able to do fans, spread them out. Why wouldn't they do that?
Let's see. I don't think
they're quite ready for that.
I think there are about 12 fights. And they're all in Jacksonville. And
you can bet on all of them, all 12, Jason.
Is it pay-per-view, Drabby?
Yeah.
It's pay-per-view. Yeah. I'm out. I'm not paying for it. But if they would put it on ESPN, I'd watch it. But I'm not paying for it, especially when I don't know any of the fighters.
You want the non-pay-per-view version of the UFC.
Yeah.
Drabby, who were you talking about? Ferguson?
Tony Ferguson.
He's fighting Justin Gaeth. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Gaeth is and Ferguson's minus 175 in that fight. The other guy coming back is plus 145.
Unless you're a UFC mark, the general public doesn't know any of those guys.
Let me get Luke Sell, and I want to talk to Luke about some of these fights.
There's some bigger names. These guys who've like fought like were better like 10 years ago,
like,
stuff like that. Cowboy Cerrone just fought.
Yeah, I was going to say Cowboy. That guy's always
Anthony
in there.
Pettis. Yeah, Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, but the general public doesn't know those guys.
Well, they're not. Yeah, it's not John Jones and Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're a UFC fan, it's a good card.
Oh, yeah, because you're just starving for something.
Yeah.
But after that, that's a good question. I guess we are just counting down to June 11th when Charles Schwab Challenge in the Colonial.
That would be good.
NASCAR.
But remember, you're also counting
down
NASCAR,
yeah.
For Tuesday, when tomorrow, for Cinco de Mayo, when Cakes and I.
That's right.
And I think Drabby and Valdez, hopefully, will be on the Facebook Live with us. Maybe we'll get McKinney, especially if we're betting on the ponies. We've got to get McKinney in there. Who else did we have last time? Do we have any?
Pedro.
Pete. Yeah, Pete, Adam, all those guys. If they want to join in,
we get an appearance fee?
You know, talk to Michelle.
I think some of us are getting an appearance fee. I think
talk to Michelle.
The ponies might be out.
Why?
Well, there's only one track running at that time.
It's something, Drabby.
And it's like a couple races, like every 20, a race every 20 minutes.
All right, we'll firm up our Cinco de Mayo plans throughout the show today.
It's crumbling.
So don't you worry. We'll give you all the details on that. And don't forget, coming up at 7:20, Chris Russell will join us. We'll dive back into the Redskins with him. So he's coming up at 7:20 right here on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.